It should be, yeah. I'm going to finish up where I started last month, so if you need a title, it's Spiritual Sobriety Part 2. I didn't quite get finished, so I'm going to finish up where I was headed. Okay. All right? Okay, so let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We praise you. We bless you, Father. We thank you for a time that we have liberty and freedom to gather together to assemble ourselves, Lord God, so that we can hear your word, Father God. We can be touched by your spirit, Father, that we can be trained in the things that you want us to be trained in, know the things you want us to know, that we can come into a place to be pleasing to you, Father God. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are that teacher. You are that leader. You are that guide. You are the one that disciplines. You are the one that corrects. You are the one that disciples us. So we thank you for this time together with you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So last month I talked about spiritual sobriety and how we've got to sober up, church. The world actually even knows about getting sober. And, you know, they work at it. Now, they don't work at it like we work at it because we don't have a 12-step program. We have a lifetime program. You know, we have a life of being sober, getting sober, staying sober. And as we're doing that, you know, our life is being built. Increase is coming to us. We don't have to be locked away. You know, I mean, I'm old enough now that we've had friends, we've had acquaintances, we've had people that had to be locked away from their own self to protect themselves, to be able to make it through, to keep on living on this earth. But we don't have to be like that. In Christ, we're not like that. In Christ, we can give ourselves to Him, and we can come into a place which we have come in this morning. We have joined ourselves into this place, into this ministry, into a ministry that believes the whole counsel of God, that will stand up and boldly, confidently confess the word to us, teach the word to us, preach the word to us, open up this word to us, and that we can take hold and become sober in this life and go all in for Christ. I mean, we all know Christian people, they didn't go all in. They're just on the outside edges. Just on the outside edges. And they really don't know who and what they've said yes to. But we're learning whom and what we've said yes to, aren't we?
Yes.
We're going to make a life in Him. We're going to make a life in the kingdom. Now. I don't have to wait. You don't have to wait for heaven. We're going to do this now. And we're going to have a taste of the goodness of God. We're going to have a taste of heaven on earth. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, so we're going to start out in New King James, and we're going to do Romans 12:3. I know we're familiar with these scriptures. I know that. But what are we doing this year? We're revisiting. And so we're going to look at these scriptures from the subject that I'm teaching about becoming sober and staying sober and overcoming the world. Amen? All right, so it says, "For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly." And that means you've got to get your mind to the point of, I reason together with the Word. I reason with God. I'm looking to agree with Him. I'm not sitting listening to the word, thinking I'm going to catch something that doesn't line up. I'm going to catch something that's contrary. I'm going to catch something that's confusing. My mindset is I'm going to catch the word of God. The word is being taught me. The word is coming to me. It is a word of faith. It says the word comes with faith, and it comes to our spirit. We're a spirit being. That's where the word comes. And I'm going to catch that word, and I'm going to learn how to hold on and keep that word so that that word is not lost in my life. Or to my life, let's say that, not in my life. To my life. It's not going to be lost to my life. I'm going to gain something from sitting under the authority of the word of God, under the authority of a ministry that is bold and courageous enough to stand up and, you know, say the hard things. say the things that might come against where I'm at right now today. And then what am I going to do about that? That's where humility comes in. I tell the children all the time, are you going to allow anyone, including myself, somebody, your parents, a teacher, a pastor, somebody tell you something that you might not know or you might think you know, but you're going to push it off. You're going to choose not to believe it. You're going to choose to deny it. You don't want anything to do with it because I know what I know. That's not humble. That's not having humility. We have to develop in humility so that I can learn something that either I thought I knew and I didn't know, or I never knew it, and it's the first time I've heard it. You know, as old as I am, I think about this. I hear things every day, I'm talking about in the Word and from the Word, that I really wasn't sure of. I didn't really have a, you know, sometimes I say to myself, I don't really have a hold of that. I'm not stable in that. I know about it, I've heard it before, but am I stable in it? Am I sure of it? And you know, that's something that, you know, it's examining ourselves, and I think we're going down that road because I hear everyone that gets up here in the pulpit, we're talking about that. We're talking about self-examination. We're talking about looking within. We're talking about reaching out for the life that God has provided for us and given to us. Amen? Amen. So we want to reason together. And then it says that you may, this is why it says you, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he might to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. And we know that this scripture is talking about the church, that the gifts in the church, the people in the church, what they were doing. And, you know, the whole idea was to get them straight, to get them on course, to get them set so that God could use them as that vessel of glory and honor. You know, he wants to use us as a vessel of glory and honor because that's what he's called us to be. He sees us like that, but sometimes we aren't acting like that because we can't think like that, that I'm not a vessel of honor and glory before the Lord. And, you know, it's, you know, there's, that's a two-way street. Either I think, yeah, that's me. I'm a vessel of honor and glory, and I'm out here acting like I don't know what. And, you know, and I've convinced myself it doesn't matter what I do because I'm still a vessel of honor and glory. But, you know, we have to be calm, and we have to stay in that place of being that vessel. And the only way to do that is we've got to pay attention. We got to get in this Word and stick with the Word, stay with the Word, and put everything that comes at us up against the Word of God, to measure it against the Word. Is this going to increase my life in the Word? Is this going to keep me in the place I'm at if I am running for God? Is this going to distract me? Is it going to pull me off? Is it going to capture my attention when my attention shouldn't be captured? You know, we all have our own attention. Nobody has authority over your attention. You are the boss of you. I am the boss of me. If I choose, I can give my attention to whom I want to. Just like you can give your attention. And being sober helps us to recognize when something's pulling on our attention. You know, whether it's words, whether it's something that comes in our ears or eyes, comes in our thought life. It doesn't necessarily have to be out here. It can be within me. But I have to recognize, why am I giving attention to this? What is going on here? Staying sober, I'll be able to recognize it. When you're under an influence of something that isn't good for us, then we're influenced by that, and we don't understand that we're being influenced by the wrong thing. But if you're sober, you'll recognize that influence when it comes around. And that's what we're trying to get at here, to recognize that. In 2 Timothy, we won't go there, but I did write it down. In 2 Timothy it says that we haven't been given a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind, a soundness, a calm, a well-balanced mind, a mind that can reason together with God, a mind that can take on the thoughts of God, a mind that can be changed. I mean, we practice it all the time. We practice changing our mind all the time. All the time. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying we have that in us to change our mind. We can practice that. We can practice it towards the things of God. How about this one? This is a simple one. Now, thank you, I've told myself no. But there's people around me that haven't told themselves no, and they've told me this over the years lots of times. You don't have to be at church every time the doors are open. Sometimes I intend to come, but then something else comes up. A phone call. I get up and I see the weather. It's beautiful. I get up and I don't feel just right. Well, if that were so, I might not be having perfect attendance either, okay? I mean, come on. What? Where is that just right point for you? I mean, come on. We have to be real with ourselves. But because of staying in the Word of God, I have learned that those influences aren't the right influences. They aren't. Years ago, Pastor Morgan in the concrete business, they would give him perks, and they would reward him with things. And it was always on Sundays, always tickets to bowl games, tickets to this, tickets to go to Miami, tickets to go to Orlando. I mean, good stuff. I mean, you know, people would, well, they wouldn't kill for it. Let me put that. That's not true. That's not true. But they would do anything to be able to have this. I mean, you know, we're talking box seats at this thing and box seats at that. And, you know, let's be real. Could that not have become a pull? Could that not have become an influence? And, you know, and I get it, but it's a one-time thing and I won't get that opportunity again. Well, maybe we wouldn't ever get that opportunity again. But you know what? We said no because we had already known where should we be on a Sunday. Way back. I'm talking 25 or 30 years ago. Way back. Because we were in the Word. Without being in the Word, you will not be able to make decisions like you should for God and towards God. You know, you're probably never going to have to make a decision like that. But that was something that just came to us. It just came to us, and it came all the time. And unfortunately, once we realized it, we should have never mentioned it, but we mentioned it to one person, and they said, "Why didn't you give me the tickets?" And I'm like, "Aren't you coming to the same ministry we're coming to? Why would we give you something that's going to pull you off?" Because, I mean, you know, we didn't feel that was right. But boy, we got called on the carpet about that. Woo! They did not appreciate it. So I thought, okay, a lot of things you don't have to share with the public. Because somehow, boy, I about got told off about that thing. And that wasn't good. But let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to look what the Word says about the Word. What does the Word say? And we're going to pull this scripture apart. I've got a couple of different translations. So I'm going to read it in the Amplified. So if you can pull up the Amplified, please. Oh, I'm sorry, 3:14-17. Timothy 3:14-17. And we're gonna pull this apart. It says, now this is when the world was a mess. Everything was going wrong. There was perversion. There was stress. There was hardship. I think we can relate to that, can we not? That this is what's happening. We're in this time. I don't think we've seen all of it, but we've seen some already. It says, but in the midst of all of the persecution, in the midst of all the perilous, the dangers, the troubles, the stress, in the midst of it, this is what we're told. But as for you, continue in the things that you have learned and of which you are convinced. You will not continue, I will not continue if I don't get convinced in this word. I've got to be persuaded. I've got to be convinced. It says, holding tightly to the truth. What have we learned? I am learning truths, and all along I apply those truths, and those truths help me hold my attention where it needs to be. Helps me not come under influence of other things. Everybody has opportunity to be influenced by the wrong thing. Everybody. I mean, you just have to wake up. It says, knowing from whom you learned them. And of course, they're talking to Timothy. And Timothy, it says, how from childhood you have known the sacred writings, the Hebrew scriptures, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So we can be led into this way of life. We can be led into a sober way of living. We can be led there. It says, surrendering your entire self to Him and having absolute confidence in His wisdom, His power, and His goodness. Then it goes on to say, all Scripture is God-breathed. It's given by divine inspiration, and it's profitable. Now, here's why we got to stick with the Scripture. I have to stick with this Word. Even though there's a lot of other influence on my life, you know, there's... Pastor Tim talked about it last week about there's influences, there's advice, you know, there's opinions, and all of them are not bad. It's not that. But I can be assured if I'm sticking with the Scripture and I get convinced and persuaded about the Word and I keep giving myself to the Word. I'll give myself. I can hear the advice. I can hear the opinions. I'm going to keep giving myself, though, to this Word. I'm going to measure up everything by the Word. Does it take a little bit of effort? It does take some effort. But once you get used to this way of living, it's a sure way of life. Amen. It's a good way of life. It will increase your life. It increases my life. It's just a very safe way. That's all I can say about that. Even when something comes against us and we might even, you know, make a mess of it, we still have a safety net. Yes. Amen? Because we have the Word of God. It says it's profitable for instruction, for conviction of sin, for correction of error, and restoration to obedience. We can be restored, y'all, to obey. You don't think I hadn't disobeyed in my life before, but I always get to be restored and I come back into obedience. Back into obedience. I had a lady tell me one time. She goes, "Huellen, you just don't seem to ever. Nothing bothers you. Nothing worries you. Nothing seems to get over on you." And I'm thinking to myself, "It's coming fast and furious at me. But the only reason that you can't see it is because I run to this Word. I'm all over this Word. I'm sticking with this Word. I surround my people, myself with the people that stick with the Word." Hello? I mean, that's what we do. God gave us others, did He not? He gave us the body. He gave us our own company. That's the only reason that little lady couldn't see me just fall to pieces. I wanted to say, "Do you want to see me do that? I mean, would that make you feel better?" Because I'm not going to do that. I've decided a long time ago, I'm not doing it. There's no reason to. I'm going to be this one in the Word. I'm going to be the one that's convicted. I'm going to be the one that's instructed. I'm going to be the one that's corrected. And then I'm going to be the one that's restored back to obedience. We can do this. This is our way of life. Oh, this is our way of life. Woo, glory. It says, for training in righteousness, learning to live in conformity to God's will, both publicly and privately. I love it. Behaving honorably with personal integrity and moral courage. You know, that's a lot, but what a life that is. You know, just taking this in, walking in it, knowing when you're walking in, knowing when I'm walking in conviction. I'm walking, okay, I'm walking in that correction. I received it, I took it, I got corrected, and I'm going to get restored, and back to obedience I come. That I don't have to fall all the way down and get into ruin. That is not our life. We've got to get this in our head. This is, and in our heart too. This is not our life to be just gone into ruin. That we have to start from square one every single time. I gotta have a do-over. I gotta start over. No. And why do you receive all this? Why do you be convicted? Why is it that you're all of this? It's so that the man of God, that's you and me, may be complete and proficient, outfitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is our life, so that we are equipped. In Romans 12:2, it says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, so that we can prove what that good, what that acceptable, and what that perfect will of God. Did you know that when you look at that and you translate that out, this is what it says, that you will prove the benefits, you will prove the completeness of the purpose of God, and you will prove the well-pleasing. The well-pleasing, the beneficial well-pleasing completeness of God for whatever the assignment or the work that we've been called to. You know, I don't know every work I've been called to yet because I'm still here. I'm still up. I'm still going. I'm still wanting God to use me. I know you're wanting God to use you. And I don't know every assignment, but I've walked in some of those things. And I am walking in some of that. And I'm glad about it. And I know to continue to walk in it. I've got to receive conviction and correction and reproof. I've got to receive everything that we are looking at in 2 Timothy chapter 3 says about what the Word is capable and able to do. When I saw that, not just recent, I saw that a while back, some years ago. But when I saw that in the Amplified that said I could be restored to obedience, I thought about all the people that felt like they couldn't make it. I mean, Christian people, some of them that's come through our ministry, this ministry. And I thought, if they only really knew this, they could have been restored to obedience. They didn't have to fall by the wayside. They didn't have to stop. They didn't have to quit. They didn't have to turn aside. They could have been convicted and they could have been restored to obedience. You know, that's important. Yeah. It's important to get this in us. To get it in me so that when I can, so I can recognize something's influencing me that's not right here. I don't want to have to come under that. I want to stop it. I'm going to stop me in my tracks. Yes, you can stop it in its tracks, but you know, it has a mind of its own too. It is loosed on the earth, okay? So, but I can stop me.
That's right.
I can stop me. We're talking about us. We're talking about getting sober in our life. And getting sober in this life in Christ is you have to get in this Word. And you have to stick it out and you have to stay with it. And when things come up at you, you still have to get in that Word. You have to stick with that Word. You have to let those scriptures come up, whatever it is you've learned. And you have to stick with it. You have to stay with it. No matter what. And you have to have the confidence in it and the trust in it. That this is going to see me through. It's going to see you through. It doesn't feel like it. It doesn't look like it. I wish it was gone yesterday. But honestly and real, for real, we can stick with it and we can go through it and come out the other side. And I talked about it last month. Not with all the baggage of it. Not all the aftermath. Not all the side effects of it, whatever that be. Not just physical, but, you know, mental. I mean, think about people that walk away with all the mental baggage. Woo, that's got to be rough. That has to be rough, seriously rough. But we have to let the Word of God show us these things. Amen?
Amen.
We got to. Let's see, where do I want to go? Let's look at the passion. And that's in that same scripture. Do we have the passion? Okay, good. All right, 14 to 17. Because sometimes it's just good to see things like that. And it's still in 14 to 17. Okay, here we go. It says, yet you must continue. They're talking about all the troubles. Yet you must continue to advance in strength with the troop wrapped around your heart. So you've got to have truth inside of you. We have to. And we've got to be wrapped in that truth. That truth has to have the loudest voice. I made a mental note to myself many years ago. I'm sure I heard it taught, but many years ago I told myself, if I let my circumstance and my situation that is crosswise and adverse to the will of God and the word of God for me, if I let that situation and that circumstance have the last word, then I've stopped short. Yeah. Yep. I've stopped short. I haven't gone the distance with the word because I'm left in the mess. I'm left with whatever, you know, whatever direction, whatever destination that thing wants to take me. Have you ever thought about that? You know, God doesn't just have a purpose and a plan and a destination for us, but so does the enemy. And we need to cut off the enemy. We don't just let the thing just go its distance and, you know, it'll run its course. What if the end of the course is really bad? Really bad. Really bad. We need to cut it off. And you can't do it without the Word of God. You can't do it but by the Word and the Spirit of God within you. The Spirit of God, right now this morning, I guarantee you, He's speaking to us. He's talking to us. He's encouraging us. He's trying to open up our insight and our perception about these things. Because all of us, unless, you know, you've lived in a cave and you're going back to the cave and you're just not going anywhere or having a thought, which we all have thoughts, then, you know, these things come, adversity comes. And we have to know that. And we have to recognize it, and then we have to know what to do about it. And so it says, being assured by God that He's the one who has truly taught you all these things. Are we sure that what we've been taught has been taught by God? Or is it just a man, just a woman? Or is it being taught by God? Questions we have to ask ourselves. I have to ask myself that. Did I take that from a man or a woman, or did I take that from the Lord? Did I take that from the Holy Ghost, God in the earth? Did I take it from Him or not? It says, remember what you were taught from your childhood from the Holy Scrolls, which can impart to you wisdom to experience everlasting life through the faith of Jesus, the Anointed One. And God, I want us to look at this, number 16. God has transmitted His very substance into every scripture. Every scripture. We've got scriptures about what not to do. We've got scriptures about disobedience. We've got scriptures about obedience and the way we should be going. We've got examples. We've got good examples. We've got bad examples. You know, God covered us, okay? He's got us covered. He's got us covered. It says it will empower you. It will empower you by the instruction and correction, giving you the strength. I just can't do it. I want to choose right. I don't know how. I had a couple tell me that. They're older than us, and at that time they were older than Pastor Morgan and I, and they said, this is just too much. We're too old for change. We're too old to be told we don't know something. And out the door they went years ago. And I'm like, we still see them. And I'm like, how old do you have to get to think that? How old is that? What? How could it be that in the Word we would have that thought enough to take us out? How could that be? But yet it is. It was. It did be. And we have to sober up, church. We've got to stay sober in the things of God. We must. It's not just because I know God wants me to. It's a must. It's a must. We have to. In the dangerous days we're in, the perilous times, the stressful times, the immoral times, we have to stay sober so we don't lean that way, that we aren't enticed that way. We aren't deceived. You know, there's only three things that happen to us. It's either out of ignorance, it's out of disobedience, or it's out of deception. That we don't, you know, want God's will. Let's be real. We're the church. We should want God's will all the time, constantly. We're not satisfied if we don't hear His will, have His will, know His will. That we don't believe we're walking in the will to the best that we can. I shouldn't be satisfied with anything less than that.
Right.
Never, not ever. It says, so by its instruction and correction, giving you the strength to take the right direction and leads you deeper into the path of godliness. Then you will be God's servants. You'll be fully mature. You'll be perfectly prepared. And you will be able to fulfill any assignment that God gives us. We've got assignment coming. We're on assignment. I'm sure we are. But there's other assignments coming. We're not done. We're in the last days, but we're not finished. Woo, we're not finished. The devil hates to hear us shout about that. But we know we're not finished. We're not finished. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, all right, let me go on. I got to share Phillips. You know I have to share Phillips, the Phillips translation. I have to. It's too good. I cannot pass up J.B. Phillips. He was a man of God. He's so good. Here's what J.B. Phillips says. Yet you must go on steadily in all those things that you have learned and which you know are true. Remember from what sort of people your knowledge has come. All right? We have to remember this thing. All Scripture is inspired by God. It's useful. It's useful for teaching the faith and correcting error. And here's what I want us to look at. For resetting the direction of a person's life. Too late to tell me, I can't do this. It's too much. It's kind of hard. Don't you get tired of. That same couple told me that. Don't you get tired, Hugh Ellen, of being told? I said, I'm not being told. I'm being taught. But they saw it as being told. See, they should have recognized that. That was influence. That wasn't right. That is not right. I'm sorry. I just. What is going to pull me off? What's going to pull you off? You better find out and you better recognize. Just ask God to, you know, just ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, just let me recognize it. Let me recognize it. And then I'll acknowledge you, and it'll be fine. And we know that because we'll cut it off. How many things do you think we've all cut off because of being in the Word? Cut off. Cut it right out of our life. Gone. Finished. It didn't make its destination. It didn't go its course. It didn't. It didn't run its course. Amen? Amen. Woo, glory. It says, it's for resetting the direction of a person's life and training them in good living or righteous living, it says. Righteous living. Actually, what's in me, I can walk it out and I can live in it. I can live. You know, you're really living what's within you. You know that, right? I mean, you are. You live what's within you. You walk in your beliefs. I walk in what I believe. You walk in what you believe. We can't walk any other way. It's what you believe. That's what you give yourself to on a daily basis. And what you believe about different subjects and different areas of your life, you still walk in. So I know, I have family members, if you have any kind of an ailment, anything, you can't come out of the house. Anything. You have to sit down with it. You have to wait for it to go away. Wow. That is a teeny tiny little life. That's a life held captive, let's be real. You gotta say what it is. And no matter what, they just can't see any other way. Just have to wait for it to finish, whatever it is. That's not good. It says the scriptures are the comprehensive equipment of the man of God and will fit him fully for every branch in any assignment that he's given. So in this word, I really can say I will do those things that Christ asked me to do. Whatever my all things is. My all things won't be your all things. But I'll have all things, you'll have all things, and then corporately we'll have things. Corporately we can join in and we can do. We can be led. We have leadership in this body that will stand before us and say, all right, God is directing us to do this. And we should rally around that. And we should say yes to that. And we should put our energy, our time, our effort, if it's finances, whatever it is. We should bring it and give to it, amen, to see that it gets done because we're in the Word and we understand when we're given a direction, we can say yes and obey that direction, amen, because God is in you, God is with you, God is for you. He would not give you something that you could not step into. It's that we just have to develop confidence and boldness to do it. That's what we have to do. That's one of my prayers for this body every Tuesday when we're in here. When we're praying in the Spirit, I speak out in English and I say, Father, I know there are dreams and goals and visions. There's plans and purposes and pursuits within the people that join themselves to this ministry. Help them to see it. Help them to know it. Help them to acknowledge it. And then help to give them the boldness and the confidence and the courage to step out in it and walk in it. Huh? Yeah, because it will only be good for the increase of the person and the kingdom. It's twofold. It will increase you and it me, and it will increase the kingdom of God on this earth. Glory. I mean, really, come on. Woo, let me see where I want to go here. Let me see where I want to go. I made a little note about really what the word will do. It will bring law and order into your life. It'll bring law and order into me. We want to walk by law and order. If nobody else on the planet's walking in it, I want to walk in it. Because I know law and order will serve my life, serve this life that God's given me. I want to bring God glory. I want to let him know that I am serious and sober about pleasing him and understanding that there's something to be done. And he wants me to be a part of it. He wants the church, his body, to be a part of it. And we have to realize it, and then we have to recognize it, we have to acknowledge it, and then we have to actually step into it. And we have to walk in it. We want to walk and fulfill our season on this earth. Everybody gets a season. It's the shortest time of our life, really, because we have eternal life. But we get a season to make a difference. We do get a season to do that. Amen? Amen. Turn with me to Proverbs 19:21, and we'll stop here. There's so much in the Word to encourage us. Yes, it does correct us too. I'm not saying it doesn't. You know, if we're not in the right place, then it's a correction. Or it could be a conviction if we're actually out there in sin. And we can be convicted. I want to be convicted. Don't you? Because my God can convict me, but then he can restore me. He doesn't, you know, incarcerate you. You're convicted, you're done. That's not the way it is with the Lord. Amen? And it says, now some translations, it's 19:21. Some translations use the mind, some say the heart. But it is our heart and our mind. It says, there are many plans in a man's heart and in a man's mind. But nevertheless, the Lord's counsel or his plans will stand forever, will be established, will remain, will be solid. So even though I may not be on his plan, it's okay, because I can be restored to obedience and I can get on his plan.
Right.
Yeah. If I don't give up, he won't give up.
That's right.
If I give in, give up, walk out, he's still there, but I've walked out. I've walked away. But if I don't walk away, if I don't walk out, if I don't give up, then he's right there present within me, within you. That's a win-win. It's a win-win. There is no way the enemy can have his way in that. He can't. Because we are going to be the ones that we love the righteousness of God, and we want to have a life of holy living, a lifestyle. I want to get my life in order to have a lifestyle to where I know it. Not just, you know, I don't want you just to think, oh, you have one. That, no, I need to know I have one.
Yeah.
It matters to me. I get up, I lay down with me, I walk around with me. I know the thoughts in my head. I know the actions that I take. I know the words that I speak, because I pay attention to myself now. I've learned to pay attention to myself in the right way. Not haughty, like we said in 12:3 of Romans, but I do look at myself. And I want to make sure, am I pulling on and wanting to live that holy way of life, that righteous everyday life that will be well-pleasing to God, beneficial to God, that God can ask me to do something for him. He can give me a plan. He can give me a purpose. He can give an assignment, and I'm not just over here in La-La-Ville, and I can't hear it, I can't know it, I can't let anyone else come and tell me, you know, you need to come over here because God wants to do something. I want to be able to be talked to, whether it's on the inside or it comes from the outside, if it's the Word of God, I want to be able to be talked to. I made mention of that. I'll tell you this one other story and then I'll quit. Someone that was in our body years and years ago, and I made mention to this woman. We were talking about the Word, talking about how good it was to be in a body that would, you know, preach the Word, and you count on the Word being put forth. And I said to her, and I meant it, I said, if the dog comes in talking the Word, I'm going to give attention to the dog. That's what I said, meaning I just was trying to make a point. And they said back to me, they said, not me. If I don't get it directly from God, I don't want it. I said, because, you know, we're talking the Word. I said, so you are so convinced you never miss hearing on the inside that you're just going to negate anything that maybe someone could walk up to you and say, or come from the pulpit and say, that you can't judge it, that it is the Word, and you couldn't receive it like that? They said, no. Humility, back to humility. And I'm like, I'm not that person. I admit I'm not that person. I want to know God. I want to please God. I want to live a life in Him. So I'm going to take His Word however that Word comes. I'm not going to let the enemy in my life have that last word in a situation. I'm not going to quit and stop short. Amen? Amen. 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 Glory. So important, church, so important to be sober enough to look at yourself and talk to yourself about these things and recognize the good and the bad. Amen? Yes. Amen. Father, we just thank you. We praise you, Lord, for this day, this time that we spend together, Father. I thank you for the instructor and the teacher. I thank you for the leader. I thank you, Lord, for the Word that's alive on the well and on the inside of us, Father. I thank you for the Word that we are learning. I thank you for the Word that we are meditating. I thank you for the Word that's being sown into us. Holy Spirit, you are within us. You're within the people. So take what we have received. Take and teach us. Take and convict us. Take and correct us, Lord. I thank you, Father, for that, that you are God in the earth, in the believer. We are believers. We're hungry and we're thirsty for the word of our Lord, that we want that well-pleasing, fully supplied, fully satisfied, sanctified life in you, Lord. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen.